Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week, my guest is Tony Pastor. He's one of the founders of Goal Hanger Podcasts. They are the UK's largest independent podcast company and have a whole range of very successful podcasts, especially in their The Rest Is series. Tony and I chatted about how the brand has accelerated in the last 6 months, what sets their podcasts apart from others in the market, and how superfans and live events are a big part of what they do. But first, I asked him how it all started.
It started, Georgie, as a TV production company that I set up after leaving ITV, where I ran the sports production department for a number of years. I set up a TV production company. Gary Lineker was my co-founder. And about 6 or 7 years later, we found ourselves moving into podcasting in addition to TV production. And Jack Davenport, a former BBC podcast and radio producer, joined us. And so we are the three founders of the business, which is Goal Hanger. And now most of our lives are taken up with the production of podcasts.
And it's really expanded, hasn't it, in recent years? I mean, you started with the Rest Is series, but that brand has just exploded. You started with history, then you had politics. Has this all been planned, or has it happened organically?
It started organically and it's become more planned as we've gone along. So just to give you a few headline numbers, we have 11 podcasts now, 5 of them in the Rest Is franchise: Rest Is History, Rest Is Politics, Rest Is Football, Rest Is Money, and Rest Is Entertainment. Across those 11 podcasts, all of which we make ourselves, you know, they're our IP, we get 30 million downloads a month.
Wow.
They've got some great reach. Really reassuring in many ways, because, you know, everybody told us that we now live among the TikTok generation who want things short and sharp and no longer than a minute, etc., with fast editing. And in fact, what we have discovered is that there is a really significant audience, a really young audience, who want long-form, intelligent, entertaining conversations. So our average listen time is 41 minutes on our pod, so people come for a really good length of time. And 48% of our audience is under 33. So a really, I think, when people are slightly, you know, doomsayers about the attention span of younger people and about what content can cut through, you know, really excitingly, there's a whole load of people who want longer form content, you know, delivered in a really engaging and entertaining way.
How important is that data to you at Goal Hanger? When you look at that kind of data, what do you know about your listeners?
We know quite a lot about our listeners. Because, of course, it's delivered to them digitally, that means that there's quite a lot of data comes back. I mean, we know the gender breakdown, we know the age breakdown, we know the geographical breakdown. Obviously, the law in the UK means that there are limits to how much information can be discovered about listeners or viewers. We do know a fair bit. For example, we know that The Rest Is History is hugely popular overseas. It's only actually now 44% listened to in the UK. 21% of its audience is in the US. I'm sounding like a data freak here, but
this is the kind of stuff we want to drill down into, because the Americans love a bit of British history, don't they?
They're certainly liking this show. I mean, we've got two shows that do really well in the US. The Rest Is History, which, as I say, about 21% of its audience is in the US, another 4% in Canada. So effectively, one in four of its listeners is in North America. And, you know, if I'm going to be horribly, dirtily commercial, those listeners are the most valuable listeners in terms of the revenue generated around advertising and sponsorship. What's called the CPM, the cost per mille, the value per thousand listeners in America is extremely high. And so The Rest Is History has become a very, very valuable podcast in our stable. Also, because it does allow us to promote our other content around the world. So again, The Rest Is History has got 13% of its audiences in Australia. By and large, in the English language speaking nations of the world, The Rest Is History has really found an audience. And we've never paid for advertising. We've done nothing to promote it outside of just pushing it on our other pods. And yet it has organically found that audience.
Football, Money, Entertainment, they all started last year. So the brand has really accelerated in the last 6 months. And I'm not just Goal Hanger, I'm talking about that Resties series. Mm. What's brought this flurry of podcasts about, you know, launching those three in fairly quick succession?
Yeah, I mean, if you looked back at what we did before that, we didn't launch a new pod for quite a while. And that was really because the business just grew so rapidly to cope with the sudden demands around history. And then, of course, politics at what was, a wild political time around Johnson, yeah, Truss, et cetera, where the podcast was doing and continues to do enormous numbers. I mean, the rest is politics. Each episode is downloaded 700,000 times. I mean, you know, it's bigger than most national newspapers. It's a really big podcast with a lot of people listening on a really regular basis, three times a week. And frankly, we started out with six people trying to cope with all this, and we needed to upscale the business. So we're now 26 people, and that has allowed us to look around and think of other things we can do. And obviously with Gary Lineker is one of our co-founders. He was really keen to do a football pod. So we launched that. The Rest is Money is an interesting one. It came about in part because we were basically told that there was a real gap in the market. There was nobody really serving an audience that's particularly interested in business, the economy, finance, money. And so we kind of tailored that pod very specifically to meet what we were told was a market need. And that's definitely proved to be the case. And then entertainment, would you believe it? Richard approached us and just said, I really want to do this with you. And we just thought, wow, the opportunity to work, yeah, with Richard Osman, you know, the world's cleverest man.
And tallest, and
biggest selling, yes, author. 10 million books in 3 years.
Tell me about it.
And we just thought it would be brilliant. And it was his idea to bring Marina Osman of The Guardian on board. And the growth of that podcast has been absolutely staggering.
Yeah, I mean, that's my area. I love the entertainment.
It's not even a secret, Tony.
But that's my kind of stuff. And when you launched that, I was, oh yeah, fantastic.
It's gone ever so well, and it's found an audience really quickly.
You are the UK's leading independent podcast production company. What do you think sets Goalhanger apart in a market full of podcasts?
Do you know what? It's a really good question. And because there's so little transparency in this industry, it's actually, I mean, we think we're the leading company in the country, but there's no way of actually knowing that. There's no...
I just took that off your website, to be fair. I mean...
Yeah, well, it's one of those things we do claim on occasions without massive evidence.
I did think, where's the evidence for this? But I thought I'd ask you.
I think when we talk to the platforms like Spotify and Acast, who those in the industry will know are the distribution and sales partners of nearly every podcaster in the country. I mean, there's one or two others like Audio Boom and Adelicious, but basically Spotify through Megaphone, their partner, and Acast are the two biggest. And when we speak to them, we're pretty sure that we are the largest independent producer in the UK. I mean, as I say, 30 million downloads a month, I think probably means we are. And although the Apple charts aren't an exact science, they have a weird algorithm that encourages things like new subscribers and means that you can chart very successfully when you launch a new product if it gains a significant of new subscribers early on. I just looked before we recorded this episode today, and of the top 11 episodes of all genres in the UK today, we have 7 of them.
Wow.
So I think, you know... So there you go.
Absolutely. I want to talk to you about superfans and the membership clubs. How does that work?
What we discovered quite early on is that there are some listeners who go beyond just normal passive listeners who might listen while they're, you know, commuting on the train or walking the dog, etc. They really want to be quite close to the hosts. They want to interact with the podcast on a regular basis. They often want to start their own communities and chat about the content and the things that they've enjoyed listening to amongst themselves, you know, outside of us. So we decided we should kind of build a home for them. We actually did this first with our Second World War podcast, which is called We Have Ways of Making You Talk, which is James Holland, the historian, and Al Murray, the comedian. And that is a really interesting case study where you super serve a niche audience. You know, it's not our biggest podcast by any means, but it's a really successful pod. And it's got probably 60 or 70,000 people who listen to every episode. We've done nearly 800, and they adore it. And the pod is a really important part of their their lives.
Yeah.
I mean, not all of them, but, you know. And so we set up a members club for the ones that wanted extra content, et cetera, and discovered that there is a percentage of people who will join a fan club and want certain things in exchange. So what we've discovered, for example, with The Rest Is History is that it's got a big membership club. And there's two reasons principally why they join. One of them is that they want it ad-free and are willing to pay a small monthly amount, £5 or £6, to have their pods with no commercial messaging. And the second reason is because they want early access to our content. So, for example, we launched a 6-part series on the Titanic, the story of the Titanic. Tom Holland and Dominic Sandbrook have done an amazing job, and I would absolutely recommend it to people to listen to. But you can listen to it Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday over 3 weeks, or you can have it all on the first day. And that has been a significant driver where, I mean, one imagines that, you know, you're driving up the M6 to drop your daughter at university. You start listening to a series. It's great. You're both enjoying it. You think, for the sake of a fiver, do you know what? I'm going to get the whole lot now. And I think that's the kind of driver. Yeah.
It's the box set, isn't it? It's the binging. It's the equivalent of binging a whole series on Netflix or any Absolutely. Streaming platform where you just go, oh, just another episode. Oh, just another episode.
Exactly.
Before we go to
it's,
bed.
It's
yeah.
totally yeah. that. It's exactly that.
But it's very clever that you've identified that.
Well, you know, I'd love to claim to be very clever, Georgia, but actually we've basically had to experiment with a lot of things. And what we've discovered is that some things work better than others. So, for example, we do bonus episodes of The Rest Is History. People really like them. The listen-through rates are very high. And so we're able to build out an offering that the audience wants. And they tell us because we've got a lot of backwards and forwards with them. I mean, remarkably, I mean, you know, if you'd have told me this 3 years ago, I wouldn't have believed you. But we now employ community managers, people whose job is purely to talk to the members and look after them and make sure that they're, you know, that if they're they have problems with their credit cards, we sort them out. If they want to, you know, they're not happy with an episode or they want to suggest content for another episode, they can talk to us directly. We do newsletters for them. So, you know, I hope you kind of build a sense of community around the pods.
And live events as well. That's a big part of how you add value to your podcasts and to your members. Tell me about how successful they've been.
They've been a really interesting thing, actually. I mean, it's a bit like having a small band that's been playing in the back room of a pub and then suddenly it breaks out, becomes popular, and you know, before you know it, you're playing at the Albert Hall. we found, especially with politics, The Rest Is Politics, Alistair Campbell, Rory Stewart, that there is a massive audience for seeing them on stage live, and they feel almost when you turn up at these events, and we did 23 last year across our pods, many of them with politics. What we find is when you turn up, it almost feels like a sort of underground political movement of people who think, oh, I'm so bored of the way politics is done in our country. And it's so lovely to hear these two blokes chat in an amiable, funny, engaging way about stuff they know inside out because they were in the room when Putin shouted at Tony Blair, or they were in the room when Boris Johnson and Liz Truss argued about whatever it was. Yeah, so there's a real sense of, for the people who turn up for the live events, of being, as I say, it's almost like being at an underground movement. It's fascinating. And because of the intimacy of the way people listen to a podcast, often in headphones, usually in headphones, often while doing something else like, as I say, exercising or commuting or cooking or whatever it might be, there's a real sense that they're very close to the hosts, that they're the third person in a friendship group. And so we get these quirky things where you turn up at the theatre and the people in the audience think they already know the hosts, and so we'll greet them like old friends.
They're like fangirling over them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I knew this was going to happen when we turned up and did a live show. The first ever politics live show was in Blackpool, and two women in the audience wore a t-shirt saying "I go Tory for Rory," and I knew then we had a I knew then we had some super fans.
You knew then you might be on to a winner. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
We should have some kind of election this year. I mean, I can see The Rest Is Politics growing even more so when we have the hoopla of an election.
We've actually decided to guess when the election will be, and we've gone for November. I don't think that makes us massive outliers. But what we've done is we've booked a 7-venue tour from Brighton to Manchester to Glasgow and Cardiff and Birmingham, London. We finish at the O2. And so the guys will go on a election tour in October. Yeah, we were hoping to take them all around the country and see as many people as we can.
I mean, this is a huge extra part now of Goal Hanger, of creating a podcast, having to now negotiate and think about booking live tours. Did you ever think that that was going to be something you would have to do when you started creating these podcasts?
Absolutely not. I mean, I am a TV producer by training, a journalist, and newspaper journalist start of my career, you know, and I had never worked in audio, audio exclusively until 2019. You know, it's been an absolute roller coaster ride of discovery. As I say, we employ community managers, social media producers, digital, you know, all kinds of roles that frankly I wouldn't even have considered 3 or 4 years ago. So it's been amazing and a lot of fun.
The Restiest series is I would say the one you're known most for. Where do you see that brand going? Is there more mileage in it? Are there new strands?
Well, this is one of the great debates that we have on a regular basis. So what is the appropriate level of how many Restiest brands could we have without annoying people? So I ask cleverer people than me about this on a regular basis. And somebody gave me a brilliant analogy last week. And they said, don't worry about how many Restiest titles you have. There's not a limited number. Think about the standard and level of what it is. He said, here's my example. The Restiest cricket is fine. The Restiest badminton is not fine. So that's my new cutoff point.
So I can't pitch the Restiest tiddlywinks to you then?
No, you can't. Well, you can pitch it, but
I'll
get short shrift,
yeah.
I'm afraid.
Oh, fair enough. That's fine. Well, as long as we know where the level is, we'll be...
Exactly. Okay. I'm trying to work it out. Exactly.
Goal Hanger's grown so quickly as a podcast company. What does the future hold?
So there's a number of things we haven't done that we want to do. One of them is that too many of our podcasts skew male, and we want to address that imbalance. We want to have more female skewing content. The Restiest Entertainment is our first pod that is even. It skews pretty much 50-50 male-female. We've got a little drama called Sherlock & Co, which also skews female. But apart from that, you know, a number of our big beasts, like the Football Pod, they definitely skew male. We want to skew more female. We want more female listeners to come to our content. The other thing is that, you know, we're very fortunate in that all of our pods are in English. That means that they do travel abroad. It would be great to be able to produce some podcasts that work natively in Australia, in America, in Canada, South Africa, India. I think where we can, we'll look overseas as well and not be just a British podcast production company. I mean, we'll always be a British podcast production company, but can we make pods that are more than just quirkily interesting to overseas markets? Can we make something that is native to a US audience or whatever it might be? So I think we want to broaden our demographic balance of listeners, and we want to look geographically beyond just the United Kingdom.
Tony, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so, so much for your time. It's been so interesting talking to you. Where can people find Goal Hanger and all the pods that you produce?
Thanks, George. It's been a pleasure to be on. The pods are everywhere. So none of our podcasts are restricted. We don't have any exclusive deals. They're all available, whether you want to listen on if you've got an Apple phone, they're on the Apple Podcast app. If you want to listen on Spotify, that's fine too. And increasingly, our biggest pods are now available to watch as well on YouTube. And that's a whole fascinating other story.
Yeah, that's huge, isn't it? And I can't kind of wrap my head around that. It's audio, so it's a podcast, but people want to watch it as well. And I'm like, well, is that not telly?
Yeah. it's lo-fi telly. But I'll tell you what's really interesting. I'm going to give you one final parting little bit of insight that we've discovered, because we were really worried about cannibalization. So when we started doing The Restiest Football, we put it out as audio, and then we didn't put it out as video for a couple of weeks. And then we put it out as video, full length. And what we discovered was we didn't lose a single listener. So what we think is it's a whole new audience.
My thanks to Tony Pastor from Goal Hanger Podcasts for being my guest this week and giving us such brilliant insight into what they do, and especially those membership clubs and live events. Don't forget to book your Arias tickets, which are on sale now via our website, radioacademy.org. There's just a month to go. The big night is on the 7th of May, and we're looking forward to it loads. Next week, I chat to Caroline Hitt, head of BBC Radio Wales, and broadcaster Lucy Owen. I'm talking to them about how to implement schedule changes and how you put your own stamp on a show when you take over. I'll see you next week.